Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
On today's program, we'll continue our study in leadership. God's ways are not our ways. He doesn't choose leaders based on qualifications, experience, or education. God is looking for those who are faithful and whose hearts are willing to serve Him.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
And now here is part two of Cheryl's message titled, Enabling for Leadership.
By the time I was 5 years old, because my dad kept being transferred from church to church, he usually had to work two jobs other than the pastorate to feed his family. He worked construction, boat cleaning, mobile home cleaning, butcher, gardener. In fact, the country club golf course on Santa Ana Avenue, I don't know how many of you know where that is, that huge golf course between Santa Ana and Newport Boulevard. He used to mow it with a hand mower. He was the man out there mowing the lawn. He didn't even golf. Somebody gave him a set of golf clubs. He never even golfed. This was who he was. And he didn't even really want his kids mixed up with hippies. But when God said yes, he said, all right, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He didn't even know who the Beatles were. Even when my brother said, these are the Beatles, he's like, Bucks? I mean, he did not know the Beatles. He never even listened to a Beatles song in his entire life. He wouldn't have even recognized one if he heard it. But this thing he did, he said, yes, yes, whatever, Lord, I'm yours. Do whatever you want. See, the call is about what God wants to do. And it is a call to partnership with God, to simply be used and enabled by God to serve with God. It is not our work, but His. So we begin in verse 12 with God's enabling grace. I love this scripture. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Who enabled Paul? The Lord. How was Paul able to be in the ministry? The Lord. What qualification did he bring? Faithful. Holding on to the Lord. Ultimately, leadership is all about the call of God, what God wants to do, and simply saying yes and then following orders. Jesus does the rest. Those who refuse the call of God, no, find someone else, will never feel or sense the power of enabling grace. There is nothing like doing something by enabling grace. Nothing like it. I still remember the thrill of having my training wheels taken off my bike because I had never ridden on two wheels before. It had always been those four, as they call them in England, stabilizers. And I remember my dad was holding, because it was banana seat. Remember the banana seats with the bars in the back? He was holding onto it. He was running along with me. He said, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. And I'm like, am I still doing good, Dad? Am I still doing good? Dad? Dad? And I hear this voice, way to go. And I'm like, ah! And it dawned on me, I don't know how to ride a bike. And that's when I crashed into the telephone pole. But there was that elation of doing it. Like, I'm actually pedaling and I'm not falling over. Again, tell the telephone pole. But there is this ecstasy, this divinity that is poured into us that is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians, the very last chapter, Paul said, you're always looking for evidence that God is working in your midst. But I'm telling you that God wants to be mighty in you. You see, we're always looking like, is God working? Is he working? And God says, I want to work. I want to make you the miracle. I want to work through you so you can say it's not me. It's God's enabling grace. And you can testify to other people, you can do this because it's what God does, not what I'm conjuring up. There are those who will always live in their comforts and their expertise and only what comes naturally. But God is calling us way beyond ourselves, way beyond what we feel comfortable doing, to a place that we can only do what we do by the enabling grace of God. This is the grace that God talked about in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that grace that is sufficient for all things and even manifested in our weakness. It gets stronger the weaker we are. It gets better the worse that we are. There is nothing like God's enabling grace. I asked you to pray at the conference, for the conference I spoke at, the Ablaze conference, the one that was like with all of the music from the Jesus movement. I asked you to pray. I didn't want to speak at it. I kept praying for COVID, even though I've been inoculated, just a really good excuse not to go. I told God all the reasons that I wasn't the right person to speak at this. Greg Laurie went before me. He is polished. He's professional. He's packaged. And me, he had notes. He's so good. I'll give you. He's so dynamic. And I'm sitting there, and all I'm getting is more and more intimidated. Like, why? Why me? And I'm asking God for something. Like, Father, give me anything. I got one phrase. Hong Kong flu. That's all I got. I'm like, show me. Is there a story I can tell? Father, it's going to be me. Give me something. Hong Kong flu. It's like, seriously. Give me something. Hong Kong flu. Next thing I knew, this girl said, I get up there. And this man's introducing me. And he's like, I've heard that you do a podcast. I'm like, yeah. I heard that you, and you know, I'm supposed to say something like, yes, it's on. And I'm like, yeah. Up in front of everyone. Yeah. I heard you read your Bible every day. I'm like, yeah. Heard you do a women's Bible study. I'm like, I'm smiling because that's what I do when I'm nervous. Yeah. And he goes, and you have something to share. Up there. You know what? During the 60s, we didn't have COVID. We had a Hong Kong flu. We didn't have global warming. We had the ozone. We didn't have Afghanistan. We had Vietnam. Oh my goodness. All of a sudden, it just started flowing. And like in the 60s, they were so scary. We had people hijacking. Now we have terrorists hijacking. We had the same thing, but God broke through and he began to speak and meet people and give us these wonderful transforming testimonies. And I was mesmerized by what Jesus could do. And our Father wants to do the same thing. So then I prayed and I got off the stage. 5 minutes. And when I got down, the lady who had gone, she gave me a high five. She even grabbed my hand and said, thank you, thank you. Because I got him back on track with the timing. Do you want to feel the Lord working through you? Then say yes and follow orders. Secondly, God's qualifications are so different than man. God is not looking for expertise, experience, or education. God is looking for faithfulness. Will you say yes? Will you just do what he says? He's looking for loyalty. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Did you catch that? What's a prerequisite for God to work? Are you loyal to him? Is he your only God? Is he who you look to in trouble and hard times? Those who look to God, God will manifest himself. Just show up. Just show up. Just attend. God is the one who counts as worthy. He qualifies, he equips, he enables, he places. Thirdly, Paul, by all accounts, should never have been placed in leadership. Imagine his job application for pastor, church planter, and evangelist. Former occupation, blasphemer, persecutor, insolent man. Seriously, would you buy a used car from this man? Paul had worked against the church in every way possible. And he even was deluded enough to think he was pleasing God and that this is what God wanted him to do. You know, it's one thing if he was knowing, I'm working against the church. And I'm working against Jesus and I'm working against God. I can see like coming to his senses. But he was so deluded, he thought, God wants me to do this. That's a strong delusion. And yet, God saved him. When he had an encounter with Jesus, Acts chapter 9, he obtained mercy. Don't you love how great God's mercy is? In Psalm 36, 57, and other Psalms, it says that God's mercy is higher than the sky. It reaches above the clouds. So great is his mercy for those who fear him. God's great, great mercy is inexhaustible, new every morning, and accessible to anybody who calls upon the Lord in truth. God knew the why and the what Paul needed to change the course of his life. So God, Jesus, met Paul on the road to Damascus, turned him completely around, talk about a 180, and called him not just to himself, but into leadership. And Paul's disqualifications were used by God for his divine purposes. Don't you love the way God turns things upside down? The very things that should have disqualified Paul were used by God for proof of the mission of Jesus. That Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul could say, I was an expert in sin. I was a professional sinner. And to show the greatness and depths and breadth and height of the mercy of God. That's what Paul's life became proof of. Paul's life became proof that God can save anyone. If he can forgive and save a deluded Pharisee, persecutor of the church, like Paul, the worst of the worst. I don't think Paul was on anyone's prayer list for salvation. I think he was on the prayer list for extermination. We realize that no one is out of the reach of God, not one person. He's proof of Jesus' long suffering. That Jesus is willing to go the extra mile to save the lost. He is willing to wait. In fact, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, God waits that he might be gracious. I mean, the fact that you lived until you got saved. You lived until you got saved, and then you really lived. But God did not take you out when you were a sinner. He kept showing patience and patience. Finally, he says to set a pattern for anyone who will believe. Paul says, I'm that pattern. I'm that example that people can look at and say that God is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come to him, but he is also to transform to the furthermost. Absolutely. And Paul said, that's what my testimony, that's what all my disqualifications point to. They point to a God who can do anything and amazing things. It wasn't just that Paul served a God that does miracles. Paul was the miracle. Paul came as the sign, as the miracle. His testimony was the miracle. We are dealing with God. Every other transformation or reclamation is limited. You can only repair an old car so many times. We had this Audi that we, I think we had it in the shop five times already. And, you know, it was the icons were coming on again. It was a 2005 or 2006, I think it was the first year that they made the Q7. And Brian was like, Lord, how many times are we going to take this in? And it kept having the exact same problem. Brian's driving down the street, decides to get a cup of coffee. For some reason, at 6 o'clock at night, of course I'm gone, and a tree falls, just out of nowhere, falls and totals the car. In fact, if I had been with Brian, I would be dead, because it fell on the passenger side and over. And so it was like God saying, time for a new car. Just, you can't repair this thing anymore. You can't do it anymore. But when God works, you see, any other person who tries to fix or fix up, it's limited. You can only fix it so many times, but God is the King, the ultimate sovereign of all. His repairs are eternal repairs, forever fixed. God is eternal. Everything else, the fallen spirits, evil, death, mankind, all have a limited engagement. But God will outlast, outlast. God is immortal. He is not subject to weakness or the follies of men. He can do what he wants when he wants. That's why Paul is saying, Timothy, the one who qualified you is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. To God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. This is the one who is working through you. He is invisible. He works in unseen ways and unseen realms to bring about his plan and his will. He is the only wise God. He knows what men can only guess at. This is the God who knows the consistency, the power, placement, age, and name of every star. Not movie stars, in the galaxy. But he knows the other two. He knows the DNA of every living thing. He knows the weight of every mountain. He knows the volume of every body of water. He knows the size of the universe. He knows every hair on the head of every person and animal. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He alone carries all this information within him. But he uses this information in wisdom, not just to go, I know more than you do. No, wisdom is the right application of knowledge. To God, who alone is wise, he is the only one trustworthy with so much information, because only he knows how to use it wisely. Therefore, God alone deserves the honor and the glory as he works through us. It is us, not us working for God, but God working through us. Think of it, the thrill of enabling grace when the great King, the eternal God, the immortal Lord, the one who works in unseen realms, the all-knowing, all-wise God says, I want to work through you. I want to speak through you. I want to do amazing things through you. So Paul says, the prophecy that was given to you, Timothy, I want you to remember what God said about you. And by Timothy remembering what God spoke through the voice of others from God, Timothy would be enabled. Why? Prophecy reminds us that our identity is hidden in Christ. It reminds us of who we are in Christ, who we are to God, God's plans for us, so that we are not daunted by opposition or setbacks, our own inadequacies. We are who God says we are. Doesn't matter who your neighbor thinks you are. Who does God say you are? Have you been prophesied over? Has someone prayed for you and told you and reminded you who you are? Maybe even said things like, remember when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and says, oh, great warrior of God. Gideon's like, is there somebody else in the room? God will speak over you who he intends you to be, the trajectory he has for you. Prayer is so vital that we are prayed for. I'm surprised that every Sunday morning when they say the pastors are up front for prayer, that it's not packed out. You know why I think it's not packed out? Because we've stopped believing that God has a word for us. Because we no longer believe that we need prayer, but we need to have each other pray over us and speak God's word. No wonder Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Seek to speak the word of God over people. This is a gift we are to exercise liberally toward one another. The purpose and the need of leaders. Let me say this. The church has enemies, seen and unseen. When I was growing up the other day, my brother Chuck and I were talking. We were talking about how mom and dad would pray over us. And at the same time, we both said, protect them from the enemy seen and unseen. That was a phrase they used in every single prayer they ever prayed for us as their children. Why? Because we have enemies that we can see and enemies we can't see, disrupting, condemning, slandering, deconstructing, and seducing or seeking to seduce us. So leaders need to fight the good warfare. Good warfare takes strategy, obedience to commands, vigilance. This is good warfare, not bad warfare. This is not terrorism. This is not psychological intimidation. This is not slander. This is not with the weapons of men. This is with the weapons of God that are mighty. You see, good warfare requires the right enemies, not friendly fire. It requires the right battlefield, the right cause, and of course, the right weapons. Our enemy is the devil and the forces of evil, not flesh and blood.
Do you want to do great things for God? Do you want God to use your life to further his kingdom? Answer the call. Partner with him and let your life be used for his will and glory. Receive his enabling grace and see his plan and purposes unfold and become a reality. Even as God greatly used Paul to minister his gospel, he wants to use you. It is God who will enable you and equip you with his power for service. May God help us to become sensitive to his voice and ready to answer the call he places before us. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at God's enabling grace as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.